Thank you very much, Gary, for sharing. At this time, I would like to introduce our second speaker, who is Jerry, and he's also from the D.C. area.
Good evening, group. My name is Terry, and I'm definitely an addict. And I want to thank also the CPR and all the other letters that go along with that for having me here to speak today. But God is good. You know, and as I look around and I see the folks that's in here today, one thing I noticed in my 19 and a half years of being here, not one time have I went in a meeting, if I went in a dance, and if I went in any function of NA, and they were patting me down. They had a metal detector anywhere. They had a big old bouncer there talking about, I gotta check you before you came in. So that's good. And we all be praising God that we can come together and act civilized and show people that we can. You're talking about robbers, liars, bank robbers, rapists, in one room, come together to do one thing, to try to stay clean one day at a time. You know, my story don't go through jail. My story's a little bit like Gary's. I did have a mother and a father in the house, but it's just a little bit different. They weren't gamblers, but they used to fight every day. And then party on the weekend. And that's what I learned to do. I'm the youngest of seven siblings. And everybody in my house used in one way or another. Until my older brother got into recovery, I didn't know not one member of my family, whether it was cousin, uncle, first cousin, second cousin, third cousin, all the way down to 10th cousin, that didn't use in one form or another. So just like y'all said, I was set up to use, and I did. I came up in Upper Northwest, and there was a lot of us. And they always used to say, don't mess with those goings, brothers. And guess what? I was the youngest. So by the time I came around, I didn't have to do nothing but walk the walk. Act like a big old guy, but I wasn't this big old guy, and use my brother's names to be the big old guy. I suffered from low self-esteem and a lot of other things. Now, I can remember I had to be about 6 years old. You know, me and my brothers, we used to get them from the family because they used to party. We used to do our James Brown thing and all that. Y'all remember James Brown back there in the 60s? You know, my grandmother came over one day. And she had a pair of James Brown shoes. And she gave them to my brother. But she didn't bring me no James Brown shoes. You know, and I believe that's what's the start of my low self-esteem. See, so from that day on, I started feeling like I was less than. That I couldn't dance in front of my brothers. So when I went to the parties as I got older, you know, I kind of got scared to ask the young ladies to dance. And mainly because I was afraid for somebody to say no to me. You know, how I was going to feel on the inside. You know, because somebody said no to me. But guess what? When I used, I got high. I can act all crazy. Oh, I'm going to come over to you and ask you to dance then. See, because I'm going to blame it on the drugs. If you say no to me. And I won't feel the pain that I feel when you say no to me. You know, so I started medicating at a young, young age to my feelings. But yet I didn't know that. Like I said, my story don't come through jail, but my story do come through how I tore up a family. You know, I used, and my family was all over the place. I got 6 kids. 3 from my first wife, and 3 from a young lady that I moved in with over there off Martin Luther King Avenue somewhere, bro. And she showed me how to use, too. You know, God is good. You know, you're talking about fixing a spiritual dilemma with material things. See, and that's what I did all my life. You see, so while I was going through all my feelings, I always thought if I get a new pair of shoes that I would be all right. But the feeling was still there. And I always thought if I get that good job, that all the pain that I was going through would solve all of my problems and all of my issues. But that never did happen. You know, I still end up at the bus stop late at night because nobody wanted to let me in after all the drugs were gone. But yet I'm getting everybody high, but I was the first one to get put out. You know something? I thank God that I don't have to live like that no more. You know, I got tired of every time I tried to call myself a functional user. I used to always keep a job. But every time I got my paycheck on Friday, I didn't have no money Saturday night. And I couldn't figure out for the world how's that happening week after week after week. And y'all know how we do. We try a lot of things. We try to leave money over there with mama. And then you're beating her door down 2 o'clock in the morning, talking about give me my money back. You leave money at home with the lady and you do the same old thing over and over and over again. Now, isn't it amazing how the kids never need nothing until you spent your money out in the street and now they need a new pair of shoes? See, I got sick and tired of living that life like that. You know, time and time again. Never mind the pain that I was going through, but look at the pain that I was sending my family through and my kids through. You know, and it's one thing about, let me speak about myself. See, because as a man, when my money was gone, I felt that pain. When I couldn't go to the store and get nothing to eat for my kids. And they sitting there wondering, they don't know, have a clue of what's going on. And I got sick and tired of that. And they say when you get sick and tired, that's when you do something about it. That's why I say God is good. There's been plenty of times after I spend my money, if I wasn't so much of a punk, I felt like just jumping over the bridge because that's how bad I felt. I was too scared to commit suicide. That's how using make me feel. So I've been here 19 and a half years. And anytime I feel like using, or the session of using might come around, I think about all of that. I don't think about the good times. Just like they say, I don't play part of the tape. I play the whole tape all the way out. and all the way out for me, into me in the shelter. A good guy like me who came up in Northwest, and now I'm in a shelter. Which I had to say was the best thing that ever happened to me in my life. So I thought I was the it. I thought I was too good. See, but when I got in that shelter, and when they started telling me that I had to get out at 7 o'clock in the morning, and that I couldn't come back in until 7 o'clock at night, and I'm complaining. You know, and then this guy set me down one time. Now, I'm in the shelter in recovery now. And this guy set me down. He said, Terry, you know, you're doing a lot of complaining. He said, God ain't going to do nothing for you until you have some gratitude about where you at. See, I had to step back and look at that. See, because I was at the shelter, because by then, my mother didn't want me around. My father didn't want me around. My girlfriend didn't want me around. And the kids knew any better, they probably wouldn't want me around either. That's the only place I had to go. And I had to start having some gratitude and be grateful that I had somewhere to go, that I wasn't sleeping on no grave. See, but when I started having the gratitude and being grateful just for that, that's when God started moving. See, he had to take me way down there to bring me where he really wanted me to be, so he could use me the way he wanted me to be used. And I thank God for all of that. I remember that, and I have to stay humble about all of that. And where he brought me from and where he allowed me to go to. But he didn't take my life. So you have to remember that Noah was a drunk a little bit his own self. You know, the guy that all his families come from in the Bible, those Bible theologies. If you think about it, he was an alcoholic, his own self. And God used him. See, and David was a triple dipper. He was an adulterer. He was a murderer, and he was a liar. And God still used him too. So God will use me also if I allow him to use me. See, if I can just step out of my way and allow God to do the things that he needs to do. See, it's not about the house. It's about having gratitude about the house. It's not about the car. It's being thankful for that car. The big screen TV. It's not about the big screen TV. Who are you inviting over to watch a big screen TV? Who are you going to pick up and take to a meeting? Now, who are you biting over your house? This nice house that God gave you. To give you something to eat. To give them to eat. A warm place. See, that's when you start talking about fixing a spiritual dilemma with material solution. See, God gave us these things so we can help others. Not to give us these things so we can gloat. See, because one thing I know, I don't know about y'all, see, when you start thinking that you're too big, see, it happened right here in recovery. When you start thinking that you got this thing, that you done recovered, or you fixed now, I done been around here so long, man, I'm recovered now. I ain't got to do these things no more. I ain't got to do the 10th step no more and take a personal inventory, girl. I ain't got to take an inventory of myself no more. See, cause just because I don't use don't mean I'm still not causing problems in everybody's life around me. See, that's why the work has to continue on. You know, we stop using, but we still go on the job and cause so much confusion on the job that they ready to get rid of you. You go home and you're arguing with your better half every day and never sit down to come to no solution or problems. You go to the family outing and you're the one causing all the problems. And everybody is a problem except for you. But yet I ain't used in 20 years. See, because the work just gets started. See, now that I done got clean a little bit and I can focus up a little bit, now I can start working on those other things. The grandiosity, narcissism, jealousy, envy, and all those type things that continue to hold me back from getting closer to my God. So you got to clear all of that stuff up if you want the freedom that you're searching for. And that's what we're here for. We're searching for that freedom. We all got that hole in our heart that we're looking for that peace. And we search for it in many ways. I mean, look at some of these professional players and these entertainers. They had all this money, millions of dollars, and they still having issues. See, and thank God for narcotics and numbers in these rooms. We know why they had those issues. Because they ain't worked on nothing. And then they have all this money, all this fame, and now they no longer selling records. They no longer the star on the football team. Oh, but they still got all this money. But they still going through their little issues. So they never seek that God of their understanding. So there's only one thing that's going to fill that hole in your heart. And that one thing is that God of your understanding. You can try to fill it with women and all those things I discussed about earlier. Oh, and guess what? Try to fill it with your kids and see what happens. Because that's not going to work either. See, because one accident, little Johnny out of here. Now what you have? Oh, little Johnny, so sweet, sweet thing in the world. And Johnny done became your God of your understanding. And then he get in an accident. He passed away. And you so dysfunctional because Johnny was your God that you can't attend to the other kids in the house. See, finding that God of your understanding, that is what is going to free you. That is what's going to be there when you're seeking for that peace. See, because when folks die, in your family, everybody come around to the funeral. They pat you on the back and say, "If anything I can do," and all those good old things. And after funeral and the wake, you don't see those folks no more. You're sitting down in the middle of the night and your sponsor not answering the phone. Who are you going to call on then? Who do you call on? It ain't going to be Roto-Rooter. See, there's one thing about the God that I serve. See, and when I go to serve him, I really want him to come in my life as step six say. I gotta turn over all my defects of characters. Not some of them. See, I have a problem, I want to hold on to some things. Oh God, take this away. But I still want to hold on to these other things that continue to destroy my life. Continue to destroy my family life. Because I want to hold on to those things. Oh, and he's going to let you hold on to them. He's definitely going to do that. To seek the freedom that you're looking for, you have to surrender every bit of your life to the God of your understanding. Oh, that's a tall order. But if you want the peace that you're looking for, you have to make that attempt. You have to continue. You have to make that attempt to do that. You have to do that. I was 1 year clean. And my 15-year-old daughter got shot in clear. See, God knows all things. See, but then, you know, they got this thing in the Bible say, all things work together for good. To those that love God. And how can my 15-year-old daughter get shot and killed? Be good for me. See, but thank God for not Carter's numbers. Y'all told me don't think about too much. You know, just show up every day. Share about your feelings. Keep coming back. Because more would be revealed. So I kept coming back. And as you come back, God will start revealing things to you. See, but you got to keep coming back. Now, stop trying to come up with our own solutions to our problems. So I like to say, thank God when it gets too hard for Terry. See, because I can take the smallest problem and make it the biggest problem. Because I'm trying to put all my stuff into it and trying to solve it my way instead of the way God wants me to solve that problem. See, and the thing about it, see, he's going to allow you. See, the God of my understanding, he's going to allow me to go ahead and try everything that I want to try. You know, to fix that situation. See, as long as I try to fix that situation, it ain't going to do nothing but get worse. But when I step out the way and allow the God of my understanding to fix that situation and really get out of my way, man, it just seems like it just Never was that bad of a problem. So that tells me I have to continue, you know, to get out of my way. See, and that's what step 11 talks about when you start through prayer and meditation. To improve your conscious contact with God, as you understand them, praying only for the knowledge of His will, not the knowledge of your will, the knowledge of His will. See, and then you're praying for the power to carry that out. So now, when you go out and you're carrying the message of somebody, you're not carrying your will, but you're carrying God's will message, what God wants you to do, what God wants you to say to that person. And not what you want to say. See, because we can dramatize stuff and make it sound real pretty. And taking somebody to their grave. We add it. We can dress it up real, real good. Because we real slick. See, I'm still trying to figure out how I got $200-$400 a day. Because we the smartest people in the world. If you can get $200-$400 a day to get high, you ain't no dummy. See, and sometimes we be too smart for our own good. So that's why we have to be real prayerful when we're going out here and we're trying to give somebody some help. Because my will ain't giving that person that help, but my will is what God wants me to do. No, God's been good to me. You know, the things I do in the city now, I never thought I was going to be part of. I never thought I was capable of being part of. I'm around mayors, I'm around lawyers, council members, on a daily basis. Sitting in their office talking about legislation and other things. Me, Addict T. Goins. See, I have to forever stay humble and remember where I came from. And if I don't remember my story, that I'll be right back there. Right back there. I'm an addict. My name is Terry. Thank you for letting me share.